This is KPTZ FM 91.9 here in Port Townsend. I'm Charlie Berman. We are live here with special election coverage. This is the fifth in the series of six on this particular arc of coverage. Today we are talking to candidates for the Position 1 Port of Port Townsend Commissioner District. Steve Tucker, who's been there for two terms, is stepping aside. We have Pam Petronic and Chuck Falls, who are running for that seat. Say hello, Pam.
Good afternoon. I'm Pam.
Okay. And Chuck, say hello.
Hello, Charlie. Thanks for having us.
Okay. Maybe get a little closer to the mic there, or
all
get
right.
The mic a little closer to you.
How's that?
That's good. So out in radio land, we have these two first-time candidates. I want to just start with a little bit of definition. Pam, can you tell us what the port does and why we should care?
Okay. The port encompasses several different areas of Jefferson County. The Jefferson County International Airport, several boat ramps in Quilcene, Matsmats Bay, Gardner, Port Hadlock, Boat Haven, and Point Hudson. It operates several marinas and adjacent properties in Quilcene, Point Hudson, Boat Haven, and it owns the city dock and Union Wharf. But the largest and most the largest revenue generator out of all of these is Boat Haven.
Okay, and Chuck, why should we care about the port?
Well, part of the main focus of the port, besides the properties, is our task of economic development. That is the primary goal of any port district. We have port districts here in the state that don't even have waterfront. They're building silos. So as far as the importance of the port, that really has got to be the focus. It's doing economic development.
Okay, and so what is the one part of economic development that the port isn't doing that you think it could be doing?
All of the economic development to date has been focused within Port Townsend, and in particular within Boat Haven. We've got to start looking at doing economic development out in the county. In particular, we have infrastructure needs that really are slowing down economic development within the county. One of the biggest ones is wastewater treatment. We can't add housing, we can't add businesses until we address these issues, like in Lower Hadlock and in Quilcene. So we've got to kind of start shifting a little bit of focus and start honoring that commitment to economic development.
Okay, Pam, your thoughts. What economic development could the port do that it isn't right now?
Well, currently it is generating a lot of revenue, and the critical thing is to keep the infrastructure going for the existing jobs. To add more infrastructure would be more that the port would need to borrow. And right now, the first thing it needs to do is keep its strengths going. There's 2,243 jobs out of 11,000 jobs in Jefferson County that are supported through the marine trades. And these jobs aren't all in Boat Haven, and they're not all within the port. They ripple out into the county. So, and then they provide a tax base that pays back to our county $12 million. So that 12 to our state and our county. So we've got to keep our strengths going, and then we can look at ways after we take care of our critical infrastructure needs first, we can look at ways to expand. But right now, we're throughout the county.
Okay, so you are both both first-time candidates. I'm not going to be so rude to ask your age, but Pam, how old are you?
59.
Okay, Chuck?
66.
So why did it take so long for you to decide that you wanted to run for something, Pam?
Well, first of all, I am the mother of three children, and the last one just left the house. So I was pretty busy doing that. And being a public school teacher, having my own business, teaching sailing lessons, women's sailing lessons. And currently I'm a commercial fisherman and have had the opportunity to learn more about the jobs here in Jefferson County, thinking about this generation and future generations. So I'm excited to be able to now have the time and the passion to be able to ensure that those living wage jobs are here for my children and others.
Chuck, why are you running?
Well, similar to Pam, getting busy raising families takes time. I've decided to run. I've been with the port since 2005 as an employee. And during that time, I've had the opportunity to learn a lot about how the port operates, how things are done. And at this time, with Steve no longer pursuing, I thought this was going to be an important time. There's the possibility that we won't have not just one, but as many as three new commissioners over the next year and a half. We are going to be selecting a new executive director within a year. There's a historical knowledge that's going to be going away very quickly. And I think with my experience within the port that it's a good time to step up and apply that.
Okay, so we have Pete Hankey and Bill Putney are the other commissioners, and it's your belief that they might not run again, or not speaking to them?
I'm not speaking for them, but the indications that I have received are that at least one of them is definitely not running again.
Okay, so I've kind of heard that as well. But you are, in fact, a port employee. You've been there for 15 years or so.
I took a brief sabbatical and went sailing for 3 years.
That's with my wife. A brief sabbatical and going sailing. Wow. Okay. Well, wish I could do that. What's your function at the port? What do you do there?
I serve in the customer service departments. I work at the Boat Haven, Point Hudson, Quill Scene. My experience is such that I can work at any of the facilities, and I get transferred wherever it's needed. Right now, because we're during the season at Point Hudson, I'm based out of there. We'll transition back to Boat Haven at some point.
And if you are elected, do you have to leave your job?
That's actually kind of a two-part question. Have to implies that, you know, there's some kind of roadblock to doing both.
Okay.
That's not quite true. I could do both, but it's just not going to be a practical situation to continue a full-time job when the way I view the commission job is that needs to be a full-time job with regular hours where people can come and meet with me. So in that event, I would exit from my employment with the port.
So the commissioner job, though, is for all intents and purposes volunteer. And you talked to your wife about that.
Yes. We had a lot of discussion about it. She'll tell you if you ask her that, you know, I'm a total failure at retirement. I've tried it a couple of times. It just doesn't stick. So this might be a perfect transition where it's not really, you know, working, but I'm not really retired.
And Pam, you are not currently, are you currently employed?
Yes.
What do you do?
I am a commercial fisherman.
Oh, okay. Right. Sorry. So you could continue to do that while you're a commissioner?
Yes.
Would there be a conflict of interest?
No, there wouldn't be.
Okay, so...
Would you like me to elaborate on
that? Oh, sure.
Okay, well, there's no conflict of interest because I... well, first of all, a few decades ago, my vision and practice in becoming captain on my own boat has led me to be surrounded in this community by incredible leaders and take on that role as port commissioner. I feel that my position of having my own business has helped surround me with the kind of people that will help, that want to make the port successful. And so I do have a vested interest in making sure that the port is successful.
Right. Okay. This is KPTZ FM 91.9. I am Charlie Burmant here with Port Commissioner candidates Pam Petronic and Chuck Falls. Steve, why am I blanking on his last name? I know him, right?
Who?
Steve Tucker, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay, yeah. Oh, man. So, yeah, talk about getting older. So, Steve Tucker, two terms, and he's retiring. Did he do a good job?
He is on a roll. And I know that when he finishes, he wants to be able to stay connected with the port, helping advise the port commission. So we'll look forward to that.
But was he a good commissioner?
He's done a lot of good things.
Chuck?
The simple answer there is yes. Port commissioners are part of a team, and you can't judge just their efforts. You have to look at what they have accomplished. So, yes, Steve has been a good commissioner. I think the team needed more strength.
Okay, and you will provide that strength, you think?
Definitely.
Okay. So part of the your job when you are take office will be to hire a new executive director. Is that what they're called, the executive directors?
Yes. Correct. Yes.
Okay. So we had a bit of a flame out for our executive director. We hired one person who didn't really work out. Why did that happen, Pam?
Well, we had a executive director before that was here for a couple of decades, and when we hired his replacement, we were all very excited about the potential of this, of what this executive director, the new executive director, could be. Bring to the port because she had lived in this community before. But what we all found out is that it was not a good fit. It takes somebody with a real passion for wanting to keep the strengths that we have here going. And it takes someone who wants to create a lot of citizen participation, listens well to the community, works well with the community, and wants to build the staff, the team of employees at the port, which is about 30. You've got to really create a team there. And after she resigned and the current, and Jim was brought back in as an interim director, Jim Pavarnik was here before, and now he is our interim director. He is planning on retiring in June. He has been able to stabilize, turn things around, secure some wins. We have made some benchmarks that are stabilizing everything. So we need to find somebody who can continue to do that. build on small wins instead of looking for the really big home run.
Okay, Chuck, why was Sam Gibney unsuccessful as port director? I'm leading the witness here. Maybe you thought you were great.
I think that some of the things that she brought in were a benefit to the port. In particular, you know, some of our issues with our stormwater systems. She had a background in that. I think probably the biggest weakness we had in that was there was a real lack of port experience in her background. And I think going forward, you know, that's got to be something that we really look hard at. They're kind of unique industries to run. So I'm hoping that the search criteria is going to focus on that to some extent. There's a lot of them out there that would be available. One of the other things, I think the last time it was a process. There became a point where there were so many voices, you couldn't really hear anything but the noise.
You're talking about when Sam was director?
No, the process of hiring her. There were these multiple meetings and group interviews, and I think that really handicapped the process and took focus off of what the port is really going to need in a new executive director.
So how are you going to change that and have that not happen again? I just want you to answer that question, but I do need to point out that Sam Gibney didn't exactly flame out here. I mean, she is now director of the Port of Olympia.
Exactly.
So how would you change the process coming up?
Well, that's something that's kind of open to debate. This is going to theoretically all take place before the end of the year, where they'll start this process. So neither Pam nor I, you know, technically will be part of that. But I think that what we should do is focus on, I know that the port is contacting different search groups to facilitate this, and they're going to try to limit the interview and selection process to commissioners. There is some conversation that the new incoming commissioner will have some role in this going forward after November. But I think that we kind of need to rely on some professional guidance in this area. The last time, it really spun out of control.
Okay, so maybe I'm hearing you wrong, but are you saying that there should be less public input
than the last time?
Yeah.
I definitely think it should be scaled back. I definitely think that you need to get some quality candidates lined up. You can have some advisory committee that takes part in this, but the open sessions were very counterproductive to what was actually going on. So, you know, we've got to follow more of the model that the city used with the city manager and, you know, make these decisions based on experience and not feel good.
Well, the city established, you know, they had quite a long process, actually.
I was part of that, and the city did an excellent job. They held a two-day retreat for the public and the staff to be able to come up with a job description. They worked for several months with staff and the citizens to create a job description that works for our community and that comes from our community, because that person is going to need to be able to create partnerships and relationships with us. So for the citizens to have a say in who the next executive director is critical. And so I will be helping lead a citizen participation process of this to be able to help this search company define who we want, not who it wants. And I know that in January, the new commissioner will be part of that, will be a part of the team of three commissioners who will make the final decision.
Yeah, so right, the process could start this year, but right, the decision will be made by one of you. So do you think that the last, I'm sorry, let me backtrack. Was there a search firm hired last time to select Sam?
At that time, the process was not easily seen. It wasn't transparent to the community.
So, did they hire one or not?
Who?
Did the port hire a search committee last time?
I don't even know.
Do you know, Chuck?
In that particular instance, no, I don't. I was on my sabbatical.
Okay, so no one knows.
I came back just as Sam was coming in. Mm.
Right. We were let in on bits and pieces, but definitely I didn't feel like the whole process was, that the public was brought along the whole process.
Okay, so we had Larry Crockett, who was there, you know, since Abraham Lincoln was president, and then you had hired Sam, who was new and different. And I think what she said was, you know, people weren't ready to be new and different. So now it's back to the old deputy director, who is this kind of like a back to Larry Crockett's kind of style of management with the current director?
I feel that Jim has stepped in, and the port was in a state of crisis. The stormwater was not meeting benchmarks. The the morale was way down. We had an empty boatyard. When Jim stepped in, he engaged with the community, with the tenants, and he listened. We've done lots of informal back and forth talks. He's been so receptive, and we have been able to get those rates back to a fair market value. We have filled the boatyard. Employee morale is much higher, and tenants are being given fair lease rates. We've done a boatyard study to make sure we're competitive with other yards. We've hired a real estate company to establish fair lease rates, and those are being done. So, and most importantly, we've got our stormwater back at benchmarks. So we're off the high red, high alert state.
Okay, so Chuck, Jim can take credit for all of that?
Yeah, I would say to a great extent he can. But I don't want to characterize this as, you know, a return to how Larry Crockett ran. That, you know, is a disservice to Jim. He's come in, you know, from being the executive director at Kingston. You know, he gave that up to come back to help with the situations that Pam has just outlined. And yes, he is a perfect example of port experience that we need in a port executive for the executive director coming in. And that just, you know, reinforces that this is the type of professional that we need. So, you know, Jim has done an outstanding job turning around a situation in a very short amount of time. more work to do, though.
Okay. We don't have a heck of a lot of time left, but I wanted to talk about the jetty in Port Hudson. I remember a couple years ago going to a meeting, huge meeting, about fixing the jetty, and it was a priority in terms of, you know, the survival of Point Hudson depends on replacing this jetty. And now it's kind of changed. What's going on down there, Chuck?
Well, I think this is going to depend on who you talk to. This is a case of whose ox is being gored. Point Hudson is problematic. The port cannot handle Point Hudson on its own. We have got to have partnerships in this. The fact of the matter is we still owe $3 million on the docks at Point Hudson. We're talking about putting another $6 to $8 million into the breakwater. And that's just the breakwater. The actual monies needed to deal with the problems at Point Hudson are closer to $15 million. So this is not penciling out for the port to do this. I mean, if we pass an IDD tomorrow, we would not have the revenues that would even come close to dealing with the issues at Point Hudson. So, you know, I think we need to back away from that and take a look at who's going to partner with us in this endeavor. Because otherwise, I don't know how we're going to pay for it.
So I guess one of the arguments I heard back then was, if we don't pay for this now, it's going to cost a heck of a lot more later. So Pam, what do you think about the whole jetty gate here?
Well, infrastructure throughout the United States is of high expense for local communities. So, yeah, the numbers are way out of the ballpark. But it is a serious problem, and it must be addressed. And as a responsible port commissioner, I would focus on fixing the jetty as my highest priority. Jetties also need to be repaired at Boat Haven. These have both been engineered. The projected costs are more than the business and mortgage tenants can pay for, and the impact affects the entire county. So we have to look at reasonable ways to fund it, reasonable, sensible, responsible ways to fund it. The jetty provides tax, is critical for providing tax revenue to the entire county. So it's not just about Point Hudson. It's a gateway that ripples out beyond the beyond Port Townsend to generate that tax revenue of $5.8 million to the county and $6.2 tax revenue to the state.
Okay, so we have almost zero time left here. So I'm going to give you each 30 seconds, or what you think is 30 seconds, and tell us why we should vote for you instead of your opponent. Pam, why don't you continue?
Well, I want to go with the strengths and vitality of the 2,243 jobs that are rippling throughout our county that are generating $12 million of revenue in tax receipts to our state and our county services that are living wage jobs. I want to be able to focus on fixing what we have first before risking development and diluting our strengths.
Chuck, why should we vote for you instead of Pam?
I think the big difference between Pam and I is where we need to focus our efforts. And I think that our economic development needs to be strengthened in the county and outside of the city limits. I think that, you know, within 20 years, what we're fighting to maintain could mostly be wetlands downtown.
Okay, well, that has to be the last word. This this is, like every other race, a lot more complicated than it appears, and port races are very technical. So I encourage everyone to do a bit of research and thinking, and perhaps go to some forums and do some reading of your own before you decide who to vote for on November 5th. Right.
Thank you.
Okay, so this is Charlie Burmant, KPTZ, with our special election report. This is a series of six reports. This is number five. Next week we have the headliner, Mayor Deborah Stinson, challenger Monica McHager. Be there or be ignorant. This is KPTZ.
Thank you.